Hey, it took him a week to count the votes in the presidential race in Egypt. Do you see that?
A week.
A week.
That's a long time for us to be on the air if we were covering Egypt's presidential elections.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, Victoria Bank would love
First
it.
First Victoria
though,
Bank would love it.
A lot of commercials for that.
And I'd probably ask for a week off.
Yeah. Mohamed Morsi is the new.
Why not?
Hey. Just saying, he got 51.7% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
He's from the Muslim Brotherhood.
Oh, that'll work out well for us.
It's interesting because the military pretty much curbed the powers of the presidency last week. They said, we'll let you be president, but you know.
But on these terms.
Yeah. Mohammed, by the way, he's a Southern Cal Trojan.
Really?
Is he really?
Yeah.
Which Southern Cal?
Yep. Graduated in get this.
Did he defeat a Bruin?
He's got an engineering degree from Southern Cal. Two of his five children were born in California. They're U.S. American citizens.
Wow.
So I know that they'll think a lot more of the United States. Oh, well, maybe they won't. Yeah. Just saying. Oh, by the way, caller said, y'all sound like Obama supporters.
What?
I give you these mints and all you can do is criticize. Just say it. You know.
Well.
There. Yeah.
On a rosier note, or perhaps, you know, rosier in that, you know, expanding our, you never know where our audience comes from.
Sure.
But an email this morning regarding the Apple discussion.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I listen to the Infomaniacs every morning from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh, wow. How fun. That's
they were great. Talking this morning about Apple prices being so high, 90 to 95% of Michigan's apple crop was wiped out with frost this spring.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, so that has something to
reinforcing, say. Number one, we have the smartest listeners.
Yep.
And number two, they are diverse in geography and,
well,
geography at least. So.
Hey, Chase.
What's that guy?
Say, who's Dennis Martin? I mean, that guy is something.
It wasn't he? I knew you'd like that. Would you like to listen to him again? At least just a little bit?
Can you do the sign off? Can you just do his kiss off?
Yeah, if you'll give me just a moment, I'll pull up Dennis's what we call a voice rap in the business.
Because I've watched some of this debate, and I mean, if I had a foam brick, I'd have been throwing that at the... I mean, you talk about boring.
That's right.
It's more fun to go to the Sherwin-Williams paint store. Golly.
Now, if the manager of the Sherwin-Williams store is listening to us right now, I hope you are not in his store anytime soon. Actually,
like,
I hope you are in his store buying copious amounts of product.
I do buy product there.
But they don't
sit
around and watch paint dry.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. All right, okay.
Here we go. Here's the beginning of the story. Then we'll get just good. All just jump to the lockout. Yeah,
for the past 3 months.
Oh, wait,
that's not him.
That was Doug Helton.
Yeah.
What in the world? All right, hang on.
All right.
I'm looking in the wrong... Okay, that's... I was looking in the wrong place.
You sound like Scott.
Yeah, I'm new to this business.
Yeah,
I don't know if you know that or not. I'm new to this.
There
All right, let's try this again. All right, here we go. This is Dennis Martin.
Each concluded he is the obviously better choice for Texas than is the other. This is Ted Cruz.
All right, then we get... Here's the middle part.
Dewhurst responded by saying even Cruz supporters admit he's the better choice.
All right, and then here's the end.
It all comes to a head in the runoff election, July 31st. Dennis Martin, TSN News.
Oh, you like the way he drops the voice with the middle of the Martin?
Dennis. TSN News.
Yeah. Dennis is just so happy because after all...
TSN News.
Yeah, he cut his teeth at that Winsboro radio station.
That's right. That's right. He was news director there for 34 years. And now he's moved up to the big time.
Who is this guy?
I don't know.
No, it's okay. I don't care that much.
Well, no, I
today's nominee for...
I don't care that you don't care. You wanted to know, so...
But you're right. It was a boring debate.
It was hard.
I know. That's time I'll never get back watching that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anyway. All right. We're going
to
do
it. Dennis needs to work on his...
His resume?
He needs to work on his publicity.
He ain't up there, huh? You Googled him and it said, did you mean?
Ain't nothing.
Okay.
I got nothing.
Okay. Our criminal mastermind of the week brought to you by St. Louis, the city of St. Louis, where a man held up a victim at gunpoint.
I'm guessing he's moonlighting.
Oh, okay. Then he's you know what? He's probably a broadcast teacher at
Careful.
North Texas. Or something.
Careful.
That's what John Mark does, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, no, I used to work with John Mark. It's okay.
And he's at Texas A&M Commerce.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
All right. Well, he left here to go to North Texas. So
he's
his PhD.
He's an alum, right?
He's at Texas A&M Commerce.
One of our alums.
Okay. Anyway, our criminal mastermind of the week comes from the city of St. Louis, where a man held up a victim at gunpoint. Tried to flee in the victim's car only to discover it was a manual transmission. He didn't know how to drive it.
I know manual.
So,
He's a good man.
Get this, though. So the victim... The victim offered the robber a ride and dropped him off.
What?
Yeah. Really?
Where? The police station?
No, just at his house. Robber got to keep $24, and that's that. So far, no arrests.
Okay, is this the stupid criminal or the stupid victim?
Well, I think they're both together. They're in a club. Yeah. All right.
You talk about a couple of Einsteins.
Yeah. 819, Bill McGuire here this morning for the Better Business Bureau. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Scott?
I'm great. What we got today?
Well, I've got something for business owners. You know, the BBB, one thing we're concerned about always is false or misleading claims. Mm-hmm. And so this goes out to all the business owners and with information just for them. We all know about impact words in marketing, language that is proven to be most likely to get attention or elicit a buyer response. But using these powerful trigger words and not backing them up or qualifying them so much that they become meaningless can be worse than not using them at all. The advertising of a good, reputable company is a promise, and good, reputable companies and business people don't make promises they can't keep. Clearly, it's difficult to make powerful 1, 2, or 3-word claims that are completely string-free or ironclad, so it's important to do a reality check when you use impact words in your marketing. If there are too many ifs, ands, or buts attached to your promises, or if the likelihood is low of the typical customer getting exactly the promised service, product, or experience, you could be crossing into teaser territory, and nobody likes that, and it could backfire on you. Here are some commonly used impact words and thoughts to consider before using them. Instantly. If you can't give a discount, rebate, or service in real time, on the spot, whether at a cash register, website, or someone's front door, don't call it instant. There's nothing vague about the word. So the customer's expectation is clear. If it's not going to happen immediately, then use more accurate words like fast, speedy, while you wait, or at point of purchase. No questions asked. If you use these strong words, abide by them. Too often, those words are tossed out mostly as part of a warranty or return policy, but not really honored. Returns and other after-sale interactions are often where the customer is most sensitive to the quality of your service. They can be make-or-break situations for your business. So if you say it, do it, using your mouth to smile, apologize if needed, and say thank you, not to question, challenge, or backpedal. Guaranteed. It's admittedly very difficult to use this word without some kind of qualifier, though some companies are very good at it. So if you do use the word, be very upfront and specific about exactly what is guaranteed and how. We've all been in situations where we make a claim on a guarantee only to have some clause pointed out to us that happens to specifically exclude our problem. If your guarantee is truly unconditional, that's fantastic, and you should trumpet it. But if it's not, be clear. Say, our guarantee is this, and say it out. Define it. It comes down to common sense. Read your promise as a customer would, then envision a scenario where it comes into question. If there is any chance it might be misunderstood or misleading, your guarantee isn't clear enough. Free. Free is free, or at least it should be. Free with a patently ridiculous handling charge, as is common in late-night infomercial pitches, or free with conditions that are not disclosed clearly or until late in the process can be sketchy. The free may be technically accurate in some fashion, but the further something gets from truly free, the more a buzzkill it is for your customer. You may be sending me a free collector's coffee mug, but if you mumble, you just pay shipping and handling for $12.95, I'm not feeling the free quite as much. Limited time. It's common practice for companies to advertise sales, promotions, or other offers as being for a limited time only, for the obvious purpose of creating a sense of urgency and forcing a faster buying decision. But when that limited time opportunity gets advertised over and over and over again for weeks and sometimes months on end, or kept alive just to extend the popular demand, customers become incredulous and less likely to buy into future time-sensitive offers. If there is no specified end date or you aren't sure you will end your offer in what would reasonably be considered a limited time, don't position it that way. On the other hand, if the claim is accurate, be specific. Say it's for 1 week only, or the offer ends July 31st. No ambiguity there. No small print. This is really part and parcel of all the other words and situations above. No small print means not a single condition, caveat, or codicil. If there's so much as an asterisk or footnote, you've broken the promise. If your offer requires small print, as most do, that's okay, but then just state that some conditions apply. Or don't say anything and make the offer details clear in the big print. The bottom line is that if you overpromise, set customer expectations at an unrealistic level, or use cloudy language or prompt customer behavior, you do so at your own peril. If you can make a clear, powerful promise and honor it with confidence, go for it. If not, better to skip the trigger words and not risk having them come back to bite you. The BBB is always here to help the people in the Brazos County and on. If you want to call us, 979-260-2222, or check us out on the web at www.bbb.org.
All right, there you go. Thanks a lot. That's Bill McGuire here from the Better Business Bureau on alternate Mondays on News Talk 1620 WTAW.